And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. The second show today is Chris Sincar from FranChoice, and he's going to be talking about how you can use franchising as a transition from employment into business ownership over time. And Chris, welcome to the show.
David, it's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you know, welcome back. We love having you on. And this is the time of year, right? Right here in March, when people are starting to think about their careers, what they're doing, you know, starting to think about spring, and we're thinking of new opportunities. And so we thought of who best to bring on to talk about a potential change in their career, potential change in getting into business, but you, Chris, and to talk a little bit about franchising.
Thanks, David. It's good to be back. And springtime does always bring all sorts of changes. And I think one of those things that crop up in the spring is that as people start to reevaluate their career path, they get that itch that maybe they want to do something on their own. And you know what I think we've both found, David, is that as we've explored franchising together in the past and talked about it with your guests, it gives people a nice, smooth transition point to move into business ownership for the first time. So I think as people start thinking about whether they want to be business owners, franchising should absolutely be part of that discussion for them.
I 100% agree, and I've said this, you know, as you know, I own a franchise here in Maine, the Dale Carnegie Maine franchise, and obviously have my other business, Career Management, and there is such a difference between a franchise and having a business without all the processes in place, right? I likened what I've said before is the fact that I wish I had a franchise to start with, because it really gives you some of the basic tools, the methodologies, the processes that already work, and it's just a matter of putting them into place.
So I think one of the interesting parts, David, is that I have found there's a couple of major advantages to franchising over independent business ownership. And just as you have in your career done both, I've done both as well. I think one of the biggest points on the startup cycle is that owning a franchise really tends to put you on the fast track. Because, as you said, all of those processes and procedures are already in place, it allows you to fast-track your marketing. It allows you to pick up customers faster. It allows you to build your business to a profitable point in a matter of months instead of years. And it makes it a lot easier. And then, you know, one of the other points, David, that you'll know from your experience with Dale Carnegie, it allows you an opportunity to be able to network with other individual owners who are in exactly the same business position as you. It allows you to have peer learning immediately. And it allows you to be able to, instead of being a lonely business owner, where you feel like you're the only one struggling with that challenge, you realize that there's other people in your franchise who not only have faced that challenge, but because they might have already been in the system for longer than you, they faced it, and they've already tackled it and won that challenge.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it really does. I mean, that's probably the biggest win, right? I mean, because it's not only the processes are in place, but people will be willing to help you and move you along in the process.
No doubt about it.
So, you know, we're talking a little bit about here about two things. One, somebody who might be out there who's currently working, who thinks about a transition from employment into business ownership, right? And they're saying, so you know, how much time does it take to think about this in terms of actually looking into it, go through the process? We're going to talk about one particular type of a franchise model here, but I really want to give people a kind of a feel from somebody who starts thinking about it to researching to go through it. What's the timeline kind of look like?
So I'll give you an example, David. I'm working, you know, in my franchise consulting practice where I work with individuals who are looking to make this transition into franchise ownership. Most of the folks that I work with, David, that cycle typically takes them between 3 and 4 months. From the time that we really start having a conversation about franchising and I really start asking them detailed questions about what types of opportunities are interesting to them and what they want to do every day and what they don't want to do every day. From when we start that conversation until they're in a position where they have joined a franchise system and they're starting to get trained and ready to operate that business, that's normally 3 to 4 months. So as we sit here in the springtime, it's completely realistic for your listeners that by the time that summer vacation's over and their kids go back to school, they could be business owners.
And that truly is, actually, when you think about it, a short period of time.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think, David, I mean, we're going to spend in our careers 40 years in the workforce, building a career. And what I would like to say to people is I'd rather you not only build a career, but I'd rather you build an asset while you're building a career. You can find opportunities in your career where you go out, you have a job that you love, and you're paid every day to do that job. But when you're done, they're not going to pay you anymore. There's no terminal value to that. But if you own a business, you're not only going to go out every day and enjoy building a career and earn a living, but at the end of the day, you've also built an asset that you can then sell at the end and have that money to retire on. So I think you get a double benefit from it over your career.
And there really is an advantage to having a known name brand. I mean, I think that's something that is also sometimes underrated.
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, David, there's tons of examples of people who go out and build their own businesses from scratch. And that's a very successful model. But I think that jumping in and joining a franchise system where there's an established brand, where there's systems in place, where there's peer owners, what it allows you to do is not just speed through the process, but it reduces the risk of starting that business. Because that business has already been implemented and duplicated multiple times before. It's been refined. And when you're joining the system, now you're really jumping into a pretty known commodity that if you're joining a well-established system, the customers that you're going to be servicing might have already heard of the brand. They might already know the name before you even open your doors.
There's no question that that's the advantage, right? Especially on a marketing side. You know, you're already connecting with the audience. Yes, there are advantages and disadvantages, but there are preconceived notions about brands. So you do have to be smart and you do have to be careful about that. But the reality is that as long as you do your due diligence, as long as you think in advance, and you really take some time to learn about the franchises, I do think that's one thing I do want to make sure that we talk a little bit about, the due diligence that an owner needs to think about. This is a big step, and they need to make sure that they do that due diligence.
Oh, absolutely. David, this is one of the biggest investments that someone will make in their life, financially as well as a career decision. And just as you don't move from one job to another carelessly without investigating the company and going through an interviewing process and making sure that not only that you're right for that job, but that that job and that company and the culture are right for you, you have to do exactly the same investigation and research when you're considering joining a franchise. And that's why this process takes 3 or 4 months and not 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's
no
question.
It really takes you time to meet the other owners and meet the executive team and research the industry. And as you go through those appropriate due diligence steps, you'll gain increasing confidence in the decision process and the brand that you're going to be joining.
You've mentioned it before, but I think just to give a perspective, you know, of the number of people you speak with in an average month, what are you talking about in terms of actual people that say, hey, you know, this is for me, and they do their due diligence and go through the process? What are we looking at in terms of ratios so that people get a perspective of how important it is to do that research?
Yeah, here's what I thought, David. You know, of the folks that I work with, I would say, well, if we use last year as a baseline, 1 out of 3 of the people that I work with as we go through the investigation process will actually find the right business, and they'll move forward as a new business owner with one of the brands that I introduce to them. So, you know, as we go through, you know, a year, you know, I'll work with probably 100 or 120 different individuals in the year in a detailed investigation process. And about 1 in 3 of those folks will end up becoming a new business owner, which, to be honest with you, David, it's a big source of pride for me. You know, as you know, we've known each other for a long time. My professional passion is to help people make this transition into becoming business owners. It's been so personally rewarding for me and my family that I want to share that experience of business ownership with everybody. And this is one of the methods that I use to help people to make this transition into business ownership.
Just to make sure the audience may remember from last time, but if they haven't heard you, you own a franchise yourself. You do this yourself. So it's not like you're not embedded in and understand the process.
No, I didn't start as a franchise consultant until I had already owned a franchise for multiple years before that. I mean, this came from me really understanding as a franchise owner the power of the business model, and then wanting to come into it and share that power of that model and the advantages of franchising with other people. Absolutely.
One of the models that we're going to be talking about today, and certainly in the next segment, is the semi-absentee model. But before we go to break, give us an overview of what a semi-absentee model really is for business ownership.
What's interesting about a semi-absentee ownership is that it allows the owner to make a part-time transition. So in a semi-absentee business, in brief, what I will tell you is there is a manager, a hired manager, who is in charge of the day-to-day operations of the business. And the owner of the business, their responsibility is really to be an executive on a part-time basis. So I think, as we'll talk about after the break, there's a lot of opportunities for transition that allows you, because you're only going to be committing 10 to 15 hours a week to the business at the beginning. It allows you to really be able to navigate a smooth transition out of a job and into business ownership, so that once you're in it full-time, you can really scale and grow the business dramatically.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar from FranChoice. We're talking about franchising as a model for business that you can get into and really make a difference for your life. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking with Chris Sinkar from FranChoice, and I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're talking about franchising as an opportunity from transition from employment into business ownership over time. Chris, in the first segment, we ended a little bit talking about the term semi-absentee business. And so as we talk about this type of semi-absentee ownership, could you give a little recap again, kind of an overview of what it is, and then talk to us about why this is such an attractive opportunity for someone who maybe has, 10, 15, 20 hours of time that they need?
To recap, a semi-absentee business is one where the owner of the business doesn't have to be there on a full-time basis. Instead, all of the day-to-day operations of the business are managed by a hired manager who's in charge of all the Monday through Friday day-to-day operations of the business. The owner's role on a part-time basis, and part-time in most of these businesses normally means 10 to 15 hours a week, the owner's responsible for executive tasks, administrative tasks, leadership of the manager, strategic development. But this starts out, David, on a very part-time basis with a limited, flexible schedule for the owner.
When you're talking about, you know, someone who says, well, that almost sounds too good to be true, Chris, come on now. You know, how do they get their heads wrapped around that potential concept?
All right, so let's take a very tangible example. Most of us are aware, either as being a customer or having seen it before, we're aware of a whole variety of different semi-absentee style businesses. So one that I think is a good example to use is, think about a hair salon, okay? Now, I'm not thinking about a fancy hair salon that's an upscale women's salon, all right? What I want you to think about is, I want you to think about a Great Clips or a Sport Clips or a Supercuts. This is a hair salon where the owner of that business is not a hairstylist. The owner of that business is typically a seasoned business manager who's now making an investment in a business that they are not going to operate every day. They hire a stylist who also doubles as the day-to-day manager of the business, and that stylist/manager hires, trains, and supervises the other stylists in the salon. The owner's role in the business, David, is to step into that salon once or twice a week to meet with the manager and have some face time, to then spend time evenings and weekends reviewing the operational and financial performance of the business, making sure it's tracking in the right direction, spending time to manage the administrative tasks of the business, paying the bills, things like that. And then also, most frequently, David, they're spending time looking for a second or a third location because these businesses, because of the limited time commitment, they lend themselves very naturally to being a multiple unit owner.
So when you say multiple unit owner, people might say, well, I know that there's a sports club down the road and there might be another one on the other side of town. Is that typically a territorial situation? Is that something in which somebody has X number that they could potentially earn up to, or could it be across the country? How does that work?
When you would make an investment decision to join a system, let's take sport clips as our example. In most cases, most of the owners in that system are going to agree at the beginning that they're going to want to open multiple locations, but they're going to want to open them relatively close to one another. I live in Pittsburgh, David, so let's take Pittsburgh as our example. In Pittsburgh, there are about 20 Sport Clips locations throughout Pittsburgh. If we work with the national averages, those 20 locations are owned by a total of four owners who own, on average, five Sport Clips locations each. So there might be one in the north, one in the south, one in the east, and one in the west, where they densely pack in their units, and it allows them to be able to manage a group of stores and therefore a bigger business with efficiency.
It also allows for those four owners to share information, share data points, share potentially even people if there were issues in regards to sickness or other things. It's kind of like having a large company backup to your little business.
There's no doubt about it, David. And I'll be honest with you, the owners within a given market tend to be extremely cooperative with one another. You know, they spend their time sharing marketing dollars because it doesn't make sense to have a radio or a newspaper or a billboard campaign just for one store. So they'll have a marketing co-op. They'll share market information about new real estate opportunities throughout the market. So those owners do tend to be very cooperative with one another, because the benefit of one really is the benefit of everyone within the market.
So you've talked a little bit about, you know, the hair care area. What are other industries that are great semi-absentee spaces?
One of the most interesting spaces, David, to me, that has been just a fantastic investment opportunity for years and years and years within franchising is the fitness world. Almost every fitness business that you'll run into, something as large as a Planet Fitness or something as small as a boutique yoga studio, they are almost always semi-absentee operated franchises. Those are businesses where the owner is not a yoga instructor. The owner is not working the front desk of the studio. Instead, those are businesses where the franchise owners are typically hiring a manager for that location, and they're typically looking for their second, their third, their fourth location to build out a multiple location business. And David, those are businesses that, because they are membership-based, they tend to be very stable and steady cash flow. And they're also businesses, David, where people feel pretty good about it because you're helping people to better their lives, and people come in and they leave pretty happy from a fitness business.
Are there any other potential businesses that you say, hey, these are really specific areas where this might work?
Yes. One of the interesting ones that has been evolving particularly rapidly over the past handful of years has been the beauty segment. So if we trace this back in time, the franchising portion of the beauty industry really started to take hold about 10 to 15 years ago. And the first beauty brand that really became a national presence was Massage Envy. And Massage Envy took a model where they were taking a luxury day spa from a hotel or a resort, and they were moving it into suburban strip centers. They were moving into urban walking malls, and they were making it convenient to the customer. And because they were making it convenient, they were driving more and more customers in the door, they could drop the price point down. And so as Massage Envy has grown up and proven that that industry is just gigantic and growing every single year, it has spawned off additional segments of the beauty industry that are now franchising rock stars. You know, one example of that would be European Wax Centers, which is another boutique beauty business. It is extraordinarily successful, makes tons of money, and continues to expand every year. The newest segment in this business, which is growing faster than any other industry segment that we see in the world of franchising, David, you're not a customer of this, but your wife might be, is the eyelash extension business. David, this is a really fascinating segment, very fast growing, very profitable. So yes, as we look at all of these businesses, a Massage Envy, a European Wax, a eyelash extension studio, these are all businesses where the owner is not in that business. They're not a massage therapist. They're not a skin esthetician. Instead, the owners of these businesses are typically people who come from a managerial background. They're used to building and leading a team. They're used to being able to manage financial statements. They come from a marketing background. So they don't have to be a hands-on operator. They're hiring a manager, and they're spending 10 or 15 hours a week to lead the business in the background.
So when somebody's thinking of this as a potential option, this semi-absentee business, and they're saying to themselves, well, you know, hey, I'm working. You know, I could really use something extra. Maybe I'm an executive for an organization, or I'm just, you know, working through things that are changing in my life. How do they look at saying, can I do really a job and this? How do they balance that life?
It's a good question, David. And here's the interesting part about franchising. When you start investigating a particular brand, one of the interesting due diligence processes that you'll go through is you have a chance to talk to the existing owners in that franchise. So if you're interested in buying into a Massage Envy, one of your due diligence steps, probably the most important one, is going to be talking to the other Massage Envy owners. And you're going to be able to talk to them about the time commitment, understanding what am I doing every day, what hours are you spending, what hours are you not spending, so that you can really start to navigate in advance and understand what's the time obligation, what are the tasks I'm going to be doing every day, and really get an understanding for what your day is going to look like. So you'll know in advance, David, of what your day is going to look like, how much time commitment you're going to have to make, and whether you think that's going to be an attractive match for your lifestyle or not.
As we get ready to end the show here, and again, we're talking with Chris Sincar from Franchoice. We're talking about, you know, what can you do in regards to employment transition into business ownership over time? And we're talking about one of the models, semi-absentee. What are one or two things that, as people are thinking about this and they're thinking about calling you or thinking about emailing you, and of course, we'll have all this information on HRPowerHour.com right after the show. Tell people one or two things to really think about that where they should go to research this and how they should have that conversation with you and why it's so important.
So I think, David, as I start a new conversation with someone for the first time, one of the most important items that I ask them to bring to the table is an open mind. David, I can't count how many times I have started a conversation with a new candidate that I'm working with, and they've told me at the beginning, they've said, Chris, I don't want blank business. I don't want a food business. I don't want a beauty business. I don't want a hair salon. And what I ask them to do is I ask them to just hold that preconceived notion, hold that objection, and just put it in the back of their mind, and just let's see how the conversation develops. Because oftentimes, David, in our careers, we have a preconceived notion of something that's not necessarily accurate once we actually dig in and look at the facts. You know, there's the old adage, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. That's exactly the same thing that I'm trying to get my candidates to avoid. So I would say, more than anything else, David, when we start a conversation about franchising and business ownership, what I'm asking my candidates to do is come to the table open-minded, so that we can have a discussion about all of the opportunities that are out there based on the interview and the consultation that I do with them. What I'm bringing to the table is my expertise of being able to understand what a candidate wants and then be able to introduce them to businesses that I know match that, even if the candidate doesn't know on day one that it's really a match.
Well, we're talking with Chris Sinkar from Franchoice. We've had a great discussion about semi-absentee businesses and what it might be like to move from a transition of employment into business ownership. Chris, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. How can somebody get a hold of you?
I would love to have anyone who's listened in to call me on the phone. My telephone number is 412-877-2000, 412-877-2000. My email address is ccynkar@franchoice.com.
Perfect. And all that information will be on HRPowerHour.com right after the show today. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.